Hello, everyone. It's George from Ireland. I'm going to comment on what's happened about Nick Mason, who's the chief data officer of the Conservative and Unionist Party, because allegations have surfaced today that he allegedly placed a wager on the date of the general election. So the election is going to be Thursday, the 4th of July, and that was announced, was it 22nd of May? And the allegation is that shortly before that, he placed a bet. I have no idea whether the allegations are true or false, so I'm not prejudging this, but just saying about the Nick Mason that I know, I'd be surprised if it were true, because I knew him many years ago. I can't say he's a friend now. I bumped into him on the tube several years ago. That's the last time, when he's working with the Royal National Institute for the Blind. But in my experience, he was someone of probity and integrity, unfailingly honest, congenial, a passable debater, and so on. So I knew him when I was very involved in the Oxford Union Society. He was a Conservative back then, not very involved in the Conservative Party at the time, or the Oxford University Conservative Association, AUCA. But he was treasurer of the Oxford Union Society, and gave people a lot of encouragement. Was a mature undergraduate. Comes from Southwest England, if memory serves. I think his dad was something senior in the Royal Navy. And then Nick went to Marlborough College, which is in Western England. I thought he went to Edinburgh University for a while, but didn't finish off. And then went to Pembroke College, Oxford, where he read philosophy, politics, and economics. I think he himself would acknowledge that he didn't have a stellar academic career and came out with a third, if I got that right. But anyway, that's still far better than most people could achieve. He worked in banking briefly and is very good at fundraising. So worked for the Royal National Institute of the Blind in the Conservative Party now. Chief Data Officer. I don't think he's an IT guy. He's got a master's degree in business administration from the London Business School. So anyway, I don't think anyone would doubt his business acumen, and he was a highly competent honest treasurer of the Oxford Union. And when he was president, he put on a fantastic ball, and when there were difficulties, he had to handle situations, went ahead, dealt with some difficult, controversial situations in a mature manner. The finance were very healthy when he was in charge. I do remember when there was a ball, there was a system of buying the tickets online. And in those days, that was kind of very go ahead. That was quite a new thing. And somebody started setting up the IT system, and he did so. And the system came live 9 o'clock in the morning, whatever, to buy your online ticket. But the first sort of 20 people who bought them had all come from the same college. And he was suspicious that the IT officer had somehow enable people from his college to be able to buy them in advance, had somehow rigged the system. And the IT officer acknowledged that this was the case. So indeed, it was dismissed. I think it was an unpaid position. I don't know. And I thought, was that a bit harsh? Should we forgive him, let him off? But anyway, and it wasn't even a paid job. But anyway, it showed that he was a man of integrity. There were certain ethical standards which need to be upheld if people cheated the system, if they showed favoritism towards others. Then they would be dismissed. There'd be no second chances. So that is Nick Mason. He's also studied at Cass Business School and things like that. But the amount allegedly involved is only a few hundred pounds, if I've got that. Thinking, well, what are the odds? Because from when the election was called to when the last possible date, was it going to be 13th of January something, 2025? How many Thursdays were left? Bear in mind, it must be on a Thursday. There are only about 24 Thursdays left. And no, you're not allowed to call an election on Wednesday and have it held on Thursday. There's a minimum period. I think it's at least 3 weeks. But Rishi Sunak went for the longest possible stretch, I think 6 weeks, enough chance to recuperate things, because the Conservatives needed to gain ground to win. Now, nobody in his right mind thinks the Conservative Party is going to win this election. It's simply a question of how badly it's going to lose. Is it going to be a relatively healthy opposition, or is the Conservative Party about to have a near-death experience? And I think it's closer to the latter than the former, though I'm not quite so pessimistic as some Tories are. And, Labour are not quite as sanguine as the polls would have had them be initially. Anyway, so all these allegations are coming out, people placing bets. Well, there are 24 Thursdays, it could be. There's a roughly 1 in 24 that any given Thursday, for instance, the 4th of July, is going to be the election date. You've expressed as a percentage. Well, so that's that's around 4%. But you think, well, there was a higher chance it was going to be November. That was what the word on the street was. So for November Thursday, we'd say it's 6%. So, you know, what odds would you be giving people? Well, you don't want it to be actually like 24 to 1. because how are they going to make a profit then? So let's make it 20 to 1. But November, let's make it 10 to 1 odds. I don't know what odds the bookies actually offered, but it's worth seeing what the bookmakers have to say, because, of course, unlike pollsters, they've got to make a living off where people actually put their money. Pollsters don't want to be proved wrong, and pollsters are proved to be dead wrong. They're left looking rather foolish, and people are less likely to hire that polling company again. So that's why, I mean, I would have, if I was a bookie, well, what do I know about opening a book and these things, a betting shop, that's why I'd be offering, you know, rather attractive odds on the 4th of July, which people didn't think was going to be more like 20 to 1, about 10 to 1 for November dates. And some people thought it was going to go to the last possible moment. It blindsided everybody. But perhaps surprisingly, the Conservative Party was ill-prepared. Labour wasn't unready, because they knew they had to be able to go, precisely because they had no choice when the election was called. So I wonder what sort of profit someone stood to make. But surely he wouldn't be imbecilic enough to commit an offence that would be easily traceable to him. If somebody was going to pull this sort of caper, what the person would do is persuade a friend or a relative to lay the bet. It's not going to be directly chased back to that person. Because if these allegations are proven to be true, then he's looking very silly. It's ethically suboptimal. Indeed, it's illegal. It's analogous to insider betting, using confidential information to place such a wager. Because the thing about laying a bet is there's an element of guesswork, and there's no chanciness if you know for certain when it's going to be, because you are privy to such information. Of course, he would have been privileged, because he is at the nerve center of the Conservative Party. So I just would add to a general sense of sleaziness that several people have done that. People have been promoted. If Rishi Sunak reposed trust and confidence in such people, then it really casts a pall over his judgment. He's a very poor judge of character, and also very injudicious of people, if indeed the allegations are vindicated, to have placed bets when it's going to be so easily traced back to them. I remember parliamentary candidates are told, when they're trying to get selected as candidates, is there anything you've ever said or done which might cause embarrassment to the party? Because if there is, the media will find it. We can guarantee that. The media will find it. They've got their sleuth hounds. They're very clever in turning up dirt, tracing things back decades, things you thought had been forgotten, you thought you could brush under the carpet. You can't, especially with the internet. There's always a record. There's always someone who's going to blabber his or her mouth off and dish the dirt on you. So Nick Mason, you know, surely he'd be wiser than that. He wouldn't have disgraced himself. He was at Pembroke College, Oxford, the same college as an outstanding Conservative candidate, Neil Mahapatra, who was also involved in the Oxford Union Society at that time. As I've said, the good people of Kent have got a brilliant candidate, Neil Mahapatra, clever. But more than clever, I think he's diligent. He's incredibly industrious and really devote himself to that. The consummate politician, someone who's a driven man, who's made a fortune, doesn't need to think about money, can completely devote himself to public service, thinking about legacy. But anyway, I hope this falls about Nick Mason, because he is a genial chap, and he's never done anybody any harm. Well, I hope he could go a bit further in the party. We shall see. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.